Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next 2 hours, we will be discussing the world of professional wrestling at 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on our conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in the chat room. We'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. We'll be talking a little bit about Friday Night SmackDown. We'll be talking a little bit about last night's NXT deadline. And we'll be talking in general about everything concerning the world of professional wrestling. So if there's anything on your mind, you can certainly write us, and we'll address that as well. One of the first things we want to say before we start, there's a little bit of good news. We reported last week that Barry Windham had suffered a major heart attack and was in the ICU in questionable condition. That condition has changed. Apparently, he is up, walking, and talking, and he is out of the ICU, so that's great news, obviously. That's a life-changing experience. There's no question about that, but the good news is that apparently, he's out of danger, at least, and walking, talking, and probably will be released relatively soon. So that's excellent news, obviously, in an area where we usually only bring bad news. Well, I want to start this episode with something we'd speculated on a long time ago, because I know we do this a lot, and some people have written to me and said, you got to stop doing that. But the reason I do it is because I want people to understand that we really do honestly do our research. I can't tell you how many times this show has said Sasha Banks is not coming back to the WWE. Anytime soon, at least. And everybody, now that Triple H is there. Oh, no, you don't know that to be true. Oh, no, she's just changing her name and copywriting it for clothing lines and music. Everything's fine. They're talking. She'll be back. I was told very early on, just in the tip of Triple H taking over, that she wasn't coming back. And I brought this to everyone and told you, don't hold your breath waiting for Sasha Banks coming back, because from everything I'm being told, she's not interested in coming back. They're not overly interested in having her back. It's one of these things where, well, if the stars align and she maybe wants to make the first move, or, things have changed a little bit in her perspective and she wants to sit down and have a little bit of a chit-chat, maybe there could be something on the horizon. She doesn't. And the WWE does not want to have someone on the roster that basically has the mindset of this whole entire women's division is based around me. They're not even doing it with Ronda anymore. So they're not going to do it with Sasha, who's very injury prone, and apparently thinks having title matches is a bad thing. She has a very unusual mindset, and that is she wants to be the show. That's it. And if there's a federation, I guess she's going to wrestle in. She's scheduled to wrestle in the UK, and she might be talking to people about New Japan. This would not even be a good pickup for AEW, in my opinion, because I know where it's going to go. Yeah, you're going to get the initial month or two of, oh, wow, they signed Sasha Banks. Their women's division is getting so serious and wonderful. And then it's going to be, oh, you're going to hear backstage things. And, oh, this person's not happy now. And that person's not happy now. And Sasha thinks it's beneath her to do X, Y, and Z. And the next thing you know, you're going to have trouble. The worst thing you can have, and unfortunately wrestling has a lot of them, the worst thing you can have in wrestling is someone who believes their own hype. For a long time, Bret the Hitman Hart believed his own hype. For a long time, Taz believed his own hype. CM Punk still believes his own hype. And apparently Sasha Banks believes her own hype. Now, that doesn't mean you don't know your worth and you want to make sure you get your worth. That's just good business. But at the same time, you can't believe your own hype. Sasha Banks is not the boss. She's not close to the boss. She's an employee just like everybody else. Valuable employee, maybe, but an employee just like everybody else. And the world is not going to stop because Sasha Banks decides, I have a hair out of place. It's just not going to happen. Just not going to happen. So from what I hear, Sasha Banks and the WWE maybe did have some meetings. It didn't work out. And, you know, the bottom line of the situation is don't hold your breath. I'm not saying never say never, because Sasha Banks could go on this little I'm bigger than the world tour and find out I'm not bigger than the world and nobody gives one damn about me anymore and I better get my ass back to the WWE where people did give a damn about me. That could happen. It's happened before, but I'm just saying don't expect her back in, you know, any major capacity soon. Don't expect her back by WrestleMania or anything like that. That's not happening. She's decided to try to plow her own path, and, you know, good for her, but again, if she is big a star, there's a problem, and the problem is WWE made her a star. Is her work rate the same as some people who are really, really busting ass in New Japan or, you know, over in the UK? I'm not so sure about that. I'm not so sure. She had a great look. She had a great gimmick. She was decent in the ring. But I don't know if that's going to fly anywhere else. It's in the air. I do know I think the WWE made the right call this time. And it makes me wonder what they're going to do with Naomi. Now, Naomi has a little bit of a higher ground to stand on, and that is she has connections. And the connections she has are not minor. The connections she has are major. And they'd be much more willing to give Naomi a second chance, I think. Not to say she's not going to get punished for this for a bit. Not to say that, you know, they may bring her back in a very bad capacity for a little while or a very minor role for a little while. But that'll blow over, I think. I think at some point you will see Naomi again, especially now that Sasha has basically said, I'm done. But Sasha Banks, you know, listen, anything could happen. By next, not this year's WrestleMania, but next year's WrestleMania, could she have come back down to earth and realized maybe my value isn't as high as I thought it was outside of WWE? Yes. Yes, because it happens all the time. So, Mike, as we reported pretty much from the get-go, Sasha Banks does not appear to be heading back to the WWE.
Right. You know, and that's the thing. She doesn't appear. And look, if I'm AEW, I'm looking at her and I'm saying, look, even with Saraya, my locker room, if I'm Tony Khan, my women's locker room is good right now. Do I really want to mess up the locker room by bringing in Sasha Banks, who thinks she's the damn show? You know, the whole effing, to quote RVD, the whole effing show, you know? So do I really want to bring her in? Now, as far as Naomi goes, yeah, you're right. There are things you could do with Naomi when you bring her in. I mean, there are things. I mean, this whole you mentioned punishment, that could be a way to work her into, you know, punish her, but that could be a way to work her into the bloodline. I mean, there are things you could do with Naomi when you bring her back, and they are going to bring her back.
Yeah, I think just strictly because of the connections Naomi has. It's a little bit different with Sasha than it is with Naomi. I do think Naomi will probably work her way back. Her husband is there. She's got a lot of friends and a lot of connections there. Sasha Banks had rubbed people the wrong way anyway. That's another thing. Sasha Banks had rubbed people the wrong way backstage anyway, a lot of people. And so I don't think they're crying huge tears over it. That's the thing. I don't think Naomi really rubbed anybody the wrong way. I think Naomi was kind of led into that Sasha thing of let's prove how much we're worth and they're going to buckle under the pressure of bringing us back. And they just didn't. It just didn't. Now, there are going to be people, I know a couple of people have written to me and said, well, you do realize that if Roman Reigns had have done this, if Brock Lesnar had have did this, if even somebody like Randy Orton or someone like that had done it, they would have buckled. That's because they're unfair to the women's division. No, it has nothing to do with it being the women's division. To do, yeah, you're damn right they would have buckled if one of those guys did it, because that's big money. Huge, huge money that they're going to be missing out on. So, yeah, that's why Brock Lesnar has special privileges. That's why Randy Orton would have absolutely been given whatever he wanted, and Roman Reigns, too. And I can name more. But like I've said before, the women's division is an extra added bonus. I don't care. If you are a fan of the women's division and only the women's division, God bless you. I'm glad you enjoy it, and I'm glad you're getting a lot out of it, and I think they're great athletes. But it doesn't matter. It's still the side attraction to the main show, and it's always going to be, with the exception of very few matches. And for that reason, she doesn't carry that same weight. So she can't have Brock Lesnar demands and be Sasha Banks because the weight isn't behind it. So, Tom, it looks like Sasha will not be heading back to the WWE anytime soon.
And you know what they say, Marcus? Good afternoon, guys. You know what they say, Marcus? Karma's a bitch. And I honestly, as a fan of the women's division, and I think the women's division has stepped it up big time since they first started promoting it heavily, we don't need Sasha. We don't need the negativity in the locker room. We don't need this this lady that is injury prone. Not the only thing good about Sasha Banks is that she's eye candy. That's it. She's a average worker. Her mic skills are, I'm the boss, I'm the boss. That's boring. Okay? Might as well just give Emma the Emelina spot again. Because that's exactly how much, impact it has. It's just she's very boring. She's injury prone. And this is a history of this woman walking out when things don't go her way. This is not the first time.
It's old.
It's old, and the WWE should have cut ties with her a long time ago. I get it, never say never, but this is the time when they need to really stick to their guns, because honestly, I can't say that fans want her back. Naomi is a different story. Naomi, I don't think, has rubbed people the wrong way in the back. I think Sasha has. I think Sasha has, burned her bridges, and I don't think this will be a good pickup for even New Japan or AEW, because what's to say that she won't pull the same crap? And that's
there's any doubt that she will. I mean, she's not going to change her stripes. If she was going to change her stripes, then she would have said, I was wrong to walk out. This was dumb. I'd like to come back to the WWE and be a part of the crew. That's what you do. I'll take exception to one thing. She's probably more than eye candy. I think the thing is, presented a group of female fans in the audience that would like to be like her. In other words, just like there are male wrestlers who, Stone Cold was a perfect example. Every guy wanted to be Stone Cold, right? Everybody wanted to come down with a beer to work and give their boss a stunner. I think there were a lot of women, and specifically maybe younger women or girls, who saw Sasha Banks as like that iconic sort of look. You know, I'd like to look like that and wear the bling bling and call myself the boss and be this. So she attracted that crowd too. So aside from her being what you said, eye candy for the guys, I think she was like sort of a draw for the younger women and the younger generation of females as well. So she had that going for her. You're right, very injury prone. And she had an elevated opinion of how good she actually was. There's no question about that. I know people who will debate me until they are blue in the face that she's one of the top two or three women wrestlers in the world. She isn't close. She isn't close. Not in just in-ring skill, she's not. Simple as that. I mean, you got better people on the roster right now. I'm going to tell you right now. You think Asuka's not better than Sasha Banks? Asuka's better than Sasha Banks. You think Bianca Belair's not better than Sasha Banks? Bianca Belair's better than Sasha Banks. I think that Becky Lynch is better than Sasha Banks. I know that Charlotte Flair is better than Sasha Banks. I think Bayley is equal to Sasha Banks. And I think there's a couple of more women in this division who, given a shot, could be as good. I think Sarah Logan could be as good as Sasha Banks if she's given a fair shot. I think Liv Morgan in the future, if she's continually working hard, will be as good or better than Sasha Banks in the long run. I think Nikki Cross, if she's given a good character and she is allowed to do what she can do, is as good as Sasha Banks. So, Mike, it's not really like she was the name in the women's division. So it looks to me as though, you know, the WWE just said they didn't want the hassle.
You know, I'd even say Mandy Rose put her on that list as well. And look, even somebody that's not even in the company that could be brought back at any time, Lana, would be better because she at least has athletic ability and she hardly ever got hurt when she was in the WWE deadline. Yeah, she had a broken ankle or something or some such thing at one point. But other than that, she never got hurt and it was obvious when she was there she was a better athlete
I think Lana would have a lot to go before she's as good as Sasha Banks. She doesn't have as many matches, and she just doesn't have the experience. Naomi would, though. Naomi's better than Sasha Banks. Naomi's definitely better than Sasha. So, Todd, you know, I think there's going to be a lot of people who miss the character. And, yeah, the WWE might slightly get hurt. They're going to need another sort of a bling-bling sort of a girl like that. Sort of a woman who attracts the younger crowd of females who want to be like them. I don't know if they really have one of those right now. I think they're trying to make Bianca Belair a little bit like that, but I don't know if they're succeeding, and I don't know of anybody else they have like that, but they certainly could make one.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, the whole thing with the Sasha Banks situation, the controversy with her and everything, And the Naomi thing, if Naomi comes back, well, like you said, she's going to face the consequences of losing matches and be like a jobber for a while until she regains everybody's trust back.
You know, though, she may or she may not, because whether it's good or bad, and I would say it's probably bad, Mike. If Naomi wanted to come back and the WWE was like, well, we're going to put you through some, you know, punishment for what you did for a while, and Jimmy or Jay or Roman were to say, yeah, that's probably not a good idea. We don't think that's going to work for us. The WWE is going to buckle.
Yeah, they got to buckle. That's where my theory about the WWE says, we're going to put her through punishment, but we're going to work it into an angle where she eventually ends up with you guys. That's where my theory comes in. And look, Mandy Rose, back before they brought the other two up, remember Toxic Attraction? Basically, that whole group was the whole Bling Bling group down in NXT.
That's true.
Was Toxic Attraction.
That's true. They could try to make Shotzi a little bit like that too, but the problem is one thing that Sasha Banks did have. She had the swag. She had the look. She had the walk. She had the talk. She had that pop culture, almost like rap diva sort of thing, down flat. And, you know, the girl from Hit Row, she's not going to have that. No matter how much more legit she might be, she's just not going to have it. Sasha Banks had that. I'll give her that. And that's why there were so many female fans who really liked Sasha Banks, because they related to her very much. So they lose that. I don't think they lose much else. I really don't. I don't think she's going to go anywhere and light it up and be like a super, superstar. I just don't. So, anyway, let's get on to what happened last night at Deadline. We saw the New Day win the NXT Tag Team Championship. This, I don't know why I saw this coming, but I did. When they said they were going for it, I said, could they possibly lose? I mean, if they lose, that's going to make their worth on the main roster look terrible. Could they possibly lose after they beat Imperium on Friday night? So I thought to myself, no, they're going to win this. Now, I don't know whether they're going to be very short-term champion, and they did this just to boost ratings and get the New Day on NXT for a few weeks, or they legitimately are going to have the New Day have a run. If they're legitimately going to let the New Day have a run in NXT as tag team champion, this is going to be very, very big for NXT. You got the right two people down there. Because one thing that NXT does seem to be lacking a little bit of is that wildly popular charisma, and they got it. People are going to tune in to see how the New Day talks to this tag team, or what they got to say about this tag team, or how they're going to be coming out, or how they're going to be handled. There's definitely going to be eyes on the product if New Day stays a while. So my thought process is, with the tag team division so flooded right now, and we'll talk about that in a minute, and the New Day still kind of waiting for Big E to get back and do what they normally do, and they've already had their shot at the Usos. They haven't won. I think, Tom, this is actually a pretty smart move on their part.
Man, I got to tell you, I am a huge fan of the New Day, and they are, without a doubt, one of the most entertaining parts of SmackDown. I did actually happen to watch the replay of SmackDown, and that crowd lit up when they asked Imperium if they had trouble performing. That's hysterical. The crowd didn't care about Gunther saying, we're professional wrestlers. They didn't even care about Ricochet saying, I'm going to win the Intercontinental belt. No, they didn't care about that. They started chanting, yeah, you can't perform. That's hilarious.
Right.
If they bring that into NXT, or they should bring that into NXT, that's going to not only boost ratings, but I think that's going to bring new eyes to NXT also. It's like that haven't checked it out before.
Yeah,
that know the New Day.
I think so too, Mike. The New Day have such even more than the Usos, who have a lot of charisma, the New Day has more. I'm not saying they're better workers, but they have the crowd in the palm of their hand. There is no question about it. New Day has the ability to get a crowd of people right into the palm of their hand. They don't even have to ask them to chant what they want them to say. They don't have to get them to pop at the right moments. They are one with that crowd. They are really good at that. They've always been really good at that. They're the masters of that. And if they can take that to NXT, that is extremely valuable, because I don't think NXT has anybody like that.
No, they don't have anybody like that. And let's game plan this out. Let's say for the sake of argument that this is not a short-term thing. That this is somewhat of a long-term thing. Not only could it help NXT, but it could help the New Day in building themselves back up to where they're to where when they come back, and they will come back up at some point.
Yep.
When they come back up, they can build themselves up to be to being at least close to the Usos.
Absolutely. That's why I said it's good for both NXT and the New Day. New Day can definitely add a lot of life and a lot of charisma and a lot of excitement to NXT, which it needs. It definitely needs. At the same time, them being gone for a little while and people forgetting about it on, you know, SmackDown or Raw, wherever they're going to end up, when they come back, and maybe Big E's in the fold as well, that's going to be big. That'll be big. The New Day are masters at reinventing themselves and staying fresh. I've never seen a team do this. Ever. I've never seen a team do this. When you look back in the history of the New Day and you say, how long have they been around? And how long have they been at the top? They've almost never been cycled down. Yeah, they've lost matches, but they've not been cycled down. They're always like, well, we lost to the tag team champion. Or the number one contenders for the tag team championship. They've never been, oh, we're the team that fights hard but gets beat for 6 months. No. They've always been one of the highlights of the show for a long, long, long time. Now, I've seen wrestlers reinvent themselves where they stay fresh for years and years and years and years. I don't think I've ever seen a tag team do it. New Day are the masters of that. They're the best of all time at it, and there's no question. I don't even think it's an arguable point. Now, you can say, well, they're not the best tag team of all time. Okay, that's fine. That's subjective. If you don't think they're the best tag team of all time, I get it. But you can't tell me that they're not the tag team, best tag team of all time at staying on top and being the most entertaining thing on the show. Year after year after year after year. It's uncanny. Usually people get sick of a character, or they get sick of a gimmick, or they get sick of a whatever, and you have to cycle them down or whatever. They have not had to do that at all with the New Day, Todd. It seems like they just perennially fresh.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, they come up with new things every now and then. Like you said, they keep themselves fresh with new ideas of the New Day. You know, like you said, they've been together for how long? For a long time. Like you said, they've been together.
And it's always been, and it's always been near or on top, Tom. They've never been cycled down, really.
No, they haven't. And I, you know, like you just said, I haven't seen any team who's been together this long that haven't been cycled down, honestly. And they do constantly reinvent themselves, and it just gets way more entertaining than the last run they had beforehand. And the New Day's got it. The New Day's got more charisma than any other team in the WWE. I'd say probably even more than the Usos, to a lesser extent, I guess, I would say DX, or just as much anyway.
I would say more, because DX wasn't together this long. See, the thing is, look at Matt Riddle and Randy Orton. They had it. Whatever chemistry they had, man, that crowd was eating out of the palm of their hand. Remove Randy Orton from the equation, Matt Riddle takes a fall, a major fall. You removed Xavier Woods from the equation when he was hurt. New Day survived. You removed Xavier Woods from the Kofi Kingston from the equation when he was hurt. New Day survived. You removed Big E from the equation to make him the champion for a while, and then he got his neck broke. New Day survived. It's like they're unkillable, Mike. They just keep – they have whatever it is they have, which I just think is charisma. You can't stop it. You can't stop it.
You remove Kofi Kingston to have him go on his Kofi Mania run.
Yep.
And they survived. You know?
You know what I think the secret to that team is? I think the secret to that team, Mike, is that they're real. They act like – I don't think they're – they may turn it up to 10, but I think what you're seeing is actually them. The secret is that that's just them. And people have gotten used to it to the point where they say, I don't think that's a character. Yeah, they may be amping it up a little, but I kind of think that's just them. That's how it feels anyway.
Think about this, you know. Kofi Kingston has been around the WWE for, 10 years? A little
more
maybe?
Say, yeah.
Yep. More, maybe. What's his name? Only just got there about 6 or 7 years ago, Woods. Because I remember Woods being Consequences Creed over there in TNA, you know.
Right.
And then, of course, what's his name? Big E started out in NXT, so... They all come from a lot of different places, and once they got together and figured things out, how long did they stay on top? I mean, they were the number one or number two tag team. They carried them and the Usos carried that division for, 5 years?
Oh, a long time. And now they've got the opportunity to do it to NXT. I mean, they're going to end up, say what you want, they're going to end up in WWE history and maybe being the most valuable tag team ever. Not because they're the best tag team necessarily, but because they're the most, they're literally the most valuable. You can do the most with them. You can get over great heel tag teams with them. You can send them to NXT to help boost the Federation and bring some life into it. You can use them as the people to get the sympathy from the crowd to get a big heel team over for another feud. There's so much you can do with the New Day. And the idea that the New Day is going to be at the arena, even if they don't wrestle, even if they come out and cut a promo, sometimes you'll see the crowd is actually more lively for the New Day coming out just to cut a promo than they are for some people's matches. That's not arguable. It's amazing what they've accomplished. It really is. And what it takes three people who honestly understand the business to the point of our job is to entertain you. Yeah, we still need to be good wrestlers. But our job also is to entertain you. And when you've entertained a crowd for this many years, they don't turn their back on you. Look forward to it. And each time you say to yourself, they're going to get old, it's starting to get old, which we have done on one or two occasions, and say, they got to start to, then they do something. They have a great instinct when it comes to that. So this is big for NXT, I think. This is very big for NXT. Now, this was a good show, all in all. And, you know, we're not going to talk about every match, but basically Bron Breakker retained against Apollo Crews, who's a million times better off in NXT. Apollo Crews was another guy who, there's an awful lot of guys floating around who are great workers, but their ability to connect with the crowd just isn't there. And Crews is one of those guys. Maybe he'll learn it eventually. I don't know. It seems a little late in the game, but he's certainly better off in NXT than he would be in WWE, where he's just going to constantly be counting the ring lights and not be even considered in a title picture. Even though I did think that his last incarnation was his best. I don't know what they're doing with General Aziz. I haven't seen hide nor hair of him. Veer Mahan is down there now in NXT. Remember when that was a big deal? Boy, that fell flat. So a few times the WWE sent people down to NXT, and it didn't make a huge difference. It's almost a demotion. You're not working on the main roster. We'll send you back. This is not the case with the New Day. The New Day were doing just fine right exactly where they were, as you heard from the crowd pop on Friday night. But they just wanted to add a little excitement to the NXT roster, and you really did do it. So that I think that was a great move. I think it's a great move. Now, another thing we wanted to talk about is the Claudio Castagnoli, which, of course, is Cesaro. He won the Ring of Honor belt. I forget what exact belt it is on their show. And Ring of Honor, I guess, now has a way you can watch weekly episodes, but it's a subscription service. So Tony Khan did not get a TV deal. What he got was a subscription service, the Honor Club or something. It's like $9.99 a month. And I think the pay-per-views are still going to be on Fight Network or whatever. But the weekly shows are going to be on this Honor Club or whatever it's called for $9.99. This worries me a little bit because Tony Khan was adamant, I'm going to get a TV deal with this. This is not a TV deal. And this is why when fans say to me, the ratings really don't matter, I laugh at them and say, you have to be kidding. Prospective TV networks take a look at what your ratings are. And they say, well, Tony, you have this Dynamite show. It's drawn 300 and some odd thousand people. That's not a lot of people. We can get that same audience with reruns of a TV show, which is a hell of a lot cheaper than your asking price. That's why it matters. That's why it matters. Now, I don't know at this point in time how many wrestling fans are going to shell out $10 a month to watch weekly episodes of Ring of Honor when they already know that a lot of them are going to end up on YouTube the next day or whatever. I don't see this as being highly successful, Mike. So I think this is more proof positive that Tony Khan kind of stumbled with this. If you remember when he bought Ring of Honor, he said, we're going to be shopping around TV deals. Well, he got none.
Right. He didn't even get anything from Pop Network, you know. I mean, and we've had our problems with Pop Network being a
yep.
small thing when they had TNA, you know. So
right,
but yeah, he said he was going to get it, and it didn't happen. He just better worry about getting his current program's ratings up. That's what he needs to worry about. Don't worry about, you know, buying other federations and stuff. Worry about getting your stuff up, you know.
See, I agree with that. I think Tony Khan is like the guy who, you know, he buys a restaurant and it's busy the first year and he says, I'm going to open up a franchise. I'm going to have five or six of them. And then you're like, well, you've just cut yourself way too thin and you just should have concentrated on what you have. I don't think it's going to appeal to – look, if Dynamite's only appealing to 300,000 people, how much is Ring of Honor going to appeal when you got to pay for it? I personally am not paying $9.99 to watch Ring of Honor weekly. I'm not doing it. I pay enough in cable bills. I pay enough in pay-per-views or whatever. I'm not doing it. I can catch up other ways. That's going to be the problem with this, pay service for Tony Khan, Tom. I really don't think this is going to be anything that's going to be lucrative for him.
To be honest with you, I think it was a bad move. You know, you saw how that worked out with TNA when they first, opened up shop. They were having a weekly $9.99. Weekly $9.99 shows. Not many people subscribe to it. I sure didn't. So this is kind of like in TNA land from 2002. It's just not. It's not a good move. And I think that, like myself, I don't have any problem with Ring of Honor, but I just don't think that many people are gonna, when they were getting it for free before, now they're getting it. Now they have to pay for it, and I think that people are going to go flock over to AEW, and Ring of Honor is not going to really have much impact on a subscription.
That's the thing. One more bill to pay is not really the answer. I mean, Todd, would you consider paying $9.99 a month to see four episodes of Ring of Honor?
It's not worth not worth paying $9.99 for it to watch Ring of Honor. Right now we're paying for how much for the Peacock for the WWE
right.
events and everything. Well, like you said, with paying for something you don't want to pay for to watch. I remember back this past season of baseball, some of the Met games were on. Was on Apple TV. I was like, I'm not paying to watch it on Apple TV.
Right, exactly. And that's something that's already well established. Mike, I was thinking, I'm surprised Tony Khan didn't make a move with his current network and say, look, Dynamite's not doing too well. Maybe I'm going to put a fresh Ring of Honor show in its place. And because it's not going to be rehashed people from Dynamite, it's going to be fresh. You know, new belts, new champions, new everything. It's almost like a whole new show that might have drawn more than what Dynamite's drawing. So I'm surprised he didn't try that.
Right. I'm surprised he didn't try that as well. And I'm looking at, I got this thing called Samsung TV Plus, and it's a segment where I can get different things. And I'm looking at a thing called the Impact Wrestling Channel. Basically old impact shows, and I get this for free on my Samsung TV. So So there you go, you know. There you go. If they want to find a way to get Impact or get what you call it on something like this, fine, do it, you know.
Yeah, we get something similar here. Pluto TV has a station. It's a free app. And on that station, there's a couple of different wrestling channels, actually. And one of them's Impact Wrestling Channel that shows, like you said, old Impact. And then there's like a women's wrestling channel. There's about three or four wrestling channels on Pluto showing totally for free wrestling, some of it older, obviously. And they even had Ring of Honor on there for a while. Ring of Honor had the channel. It was older Ring of Honor, but it was on there. So now you're saying, well, you know, do you want the fresh new episodes and you want to see Claudio as, you know, a champion and everything? You got to pay. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how that works out. But I think that this is a little egg on the face of Tony Khan, because when he bought that federation, he said, we're going to be shopping network deals. Well, you didn't get one. Not only did you not get one, you didn't even get a third-rate network. You got a paid streaming service, which, you know, literally anybody could do. But how much different is that than just putting it on Fight TV and taking a cut? Not much. That's where your pay-per-views are going to be. So I don't know. I'm a little skeptical about how that's going to work out. It was a big match. I mean, you had Jericho versus Claudio, so that was good. It's not like the matches aren't good. I just don't know if anybody's going to pay. We'll see, I suppose. Anything is possible. Women's division over in NXT is looking good. I mean, we had a fairly good Iron Survivor Challenge women's match. Roxanne Perez won that. Isla Dawn defeated Alba Fry. Grayson Waller won their Iron Man match. It was a good event. All in all, it was a good event. Am I sold on the Iron Man thing? It was okay. I don't know if I want a steady diet of it, but it was okay. Let's go to SmackDown a little bit, though, because we touched on it a little bit. SmackDown needs, what's the right word for it? SmackDown needed to make up for a lot because Raw was a bad show. And I think we saw very clearly in SmackDown what's missing from Raw. And that's, other than the Usos and the Bloodline, which includes obviously Sami Zayn, nobody cares about anybody over there. McIntyre's out right now. Some people might care about him. Kevin Owens is in a bad situation on Raw where they're not going to cheer him because they actually like Sami Zayn. So they're not going to cheer for him over Sami Zayn or over the Usos or over the Bloodline. They're just not going to. We did the Matt Riddle thing where he's out for a while. I wanted to tell people because a lot of people had written and said, what happened? Where was the injury? I'm not sure. There's no injury. As far as I know and as far as what I've been told, Matt Riddle had not had any time off in a long time. And I'm looking back, yeah, I think they're right. I don't remember Matt Riddle being gone for any length of time for the last year. He's almost always on TV. So I think Matt Riddle wants to take some holiday time. That's what I think. And that's the way they chose to do it, which is good. Because when he comes back, you're going to get probably Solo versus Riddle, which is going to be a good match. And it gets Elias out of that ridiculous tag team thing because that was just terrible. That's definitely not working. So not a bad idea, Mike, to write him off the show that way. It helped Solo. It probably helped Riddle because maybe he'll be a little fresher and not so annoying when he gets back. And it'll probably help Elias because now they're probably going to have Elias do Solo stuff.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And you know what's going to happen when Riddle comes back after his, well, let's call it what it is, kayfabe injury. People are going to want to cheer the man. They're going to want to cheer him. So
right. It's
going to help him.
Yeah, because he's not going to be, you know, sometimes certain gimmicks get old. And they really need to, like, take a break. And Riddle is Riddle ever one of those, Mike? Riddle's one of those guys that in short doses, he can be funny and charming and charismatic and cool. But boy, when it's week after week, after a while, it starts to grate on your nerves.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's the thing. And, you know, having him and when he gets back, having him get into it with Solo is a good idea because basically what Solo is kind of this MMA type style type guy, and that fits with Riddle there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I think it's a good idea, Tom, that they I'm sure Riddle thinks it's a good idea. He's going to be able to spend some time presumably with his children or whatever in the holidays and not have to worry about that. At the same time, it certainly makes Solo look very deadly, and it allows Elias some time to maybe do some work on his own and maybe try to get over with the crowd because he certainly wasn't.
Yeah, I got to tell you, Matt Riddle taking as much needed and much deserved break is definitely, you know, it extends, as we say, branches on the tree, because we know we're going to see Matt Riddle get his revenge on Solo. And you can get Elias out of the dumb tag team, because you know that's not why he agreed to come back or why they agreed to take him back. And for whatever reason, Elias is not in the ring when his match starts, singing a song about his opponent, which is absolutely the worst move you could have done with him because how he got popular. And, you know, that's part of his thing. Coming down with a guitar on his shoulder and, you know, pretending to be in a band with Matt Riddle as he plays his stupid bongos, it wasn't entertaining.
Right.
I switched it off. That was a...
Yeah, and I think what they were going to do is they're eventually going to have Elias turn on Riddle like they wanted to do with Orton, because they're not sure if Orton's coming back, and it wouldn't have made any difference. If I'm the powers that be, or if I'm in creative, Mike, what I do now is I say, okay, here's the deal. We're going to give Elias a bit of a push. Here's how we're going to do it. Go get a professional songwriter. Go get a professional producer. Get him in the studio where they know his voice is limited. He can only sing a certain octave or a certain range or whatever. Write a song, a really good one. Not a joke. Not an insult to other wrestlers. A really good song. And let him do it. And if we need backup musicians, if we need to screw around with his voice a little, whatever we got to do, let's make this song really good so that when we shoot a video for this, people are going to be like, are you kidding? That's actually really good. And then you have something, because now you can sell that. You can also sell that, you know, for the first time now, you can have some of the heel announcers say, holy crap, I don't have anything bad to say about that. You know, I used to make fun of Elias, but that's really good. I'm shocked. That way you're getting them over, and people are going to want to hear him. And plus, you can merchandise that now. You can sell that. Remember when Bad Bunny was floating around the WWE for a while, and Morrison and The Miz actually put together a pretty damn entertaining rap video and rap song. They tried to promote that thing and did okay. Elias put out an album of songs he wrote himself, presumably, and it wasn't super good, but it sold. If you had someone professional really say, we're writing a song for him, and we're putting professional backup music, everything's going to be as pro as possible, just one song, and let it be a theme song or whatever the hell it happens to be, I think you could do something pretty big with Elias.
I think so, too. And think about it this way. What you're talking about here has been done since time immemorial in different branches of music, where you got a person that's first starting out, and they don't let them write, particularly in country music, where they don't let them people write their songs. Somebody they collaborate, they may sing the song, but they don't write them. You know,
right.
They've done that for
right.
God knows how long. You know.
Yep. Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. And you know, listen, you get a songwriter and a good one, who would sign off on a hokey little song that don't mean too much and just say, look, I'll take the money, and you can put Elias's name on the damn song. This has been done forever. Time songwriters will sign off the rights to their song. There's an old story where Dolly Parton was going to actually sell I Will Always Love You to Elvis Presley. And she said, I was not famous at the time. And they offered me a good amount of money for the song, but they said, we own the song. It's going to go down as he wrote it, not you wrote it. And she said, no, I refuse. I'm not doing it. And the good thing she didn't, because she made more money off that song and the royalties to that song than anything else she's ever done. But I can give you another example. If anybody is familiar with Pat Benatar, the song Shadows of the Night, if you look on the album, it'll say it was written by Pat Benatar and Neil Giraldo. That is a lot. There's a girl named Rachel Sweet who put it on her album a couple of years before. And it didn't become a hit or anything. So I think they just picked it up and said, that would be a good song for us. However, we're just going to buy it flat out and put our names on it, and we're going to change one line. One line. And say, we wrote it. And to this day, if you look on that album, you'll see it says they wrote it. They most certainly did not. They changed one line. So that's all you have to do, is you find a songwriter who's a professional, who understands the business, and says, I don't need to, you know, have my name on this song necessarily. You give me the money and I'll write the song. That's all you need to do. I mean, I don't know who wrote Alone with My Baby Tonight. I don't know if the Road Dogg actually wrote that. I don't know who wrote Bad Street. It's been done before. This gimmick's been done before. But Elias does have some musical talent. So, you know, unlike some of the other people, he actually can play the guitar. Apparently, he can play keyboards. He can sing a little bit. You could do something and make it legit if it's good. I mean, my idea would be have him write two or three songs. Go in the studio, write two or three songs. We'll take the best one. If the one really, really, really takes off and we like it, we got the others in the can for later if we want to. But that's the only way I think you're going to be able to promote Elias, Tom, because you can't take away his biggest feature, which is the musicality of the character, and expect this guy's going to go over.
Yeah, no, the gimmick that you just came up with, I mean, it would be awesome. It's sold before. I mean, you know, it's worked before. It's worked with the Freebirds. It's worked with Jeff Jarrett and the Road Dogg. I mean, if you take, and it's more modern now, so you can, the sky's the limit, really. And
right.
If you want to make him a bad guy, you make him like, you have the song that he comes up with and releases, and then it gets really big. Have him be like a diva. You know what I mean? Like, he's like the best thing next to sliced bread, and
right.
has the, you know, the security and the, you know, surrounding him as he comes. You know what I mean? Like, that will really get, even the announcers can say at first, you know what, Elias is really good. I'm actually really impressed. And then he can kind of like turn the tables and go, I'm so good. Look how big I got, you know, pretty much overnight, and have him become like the diva. Like I'm like, I'm the best musician in the world, kind of deal, and have it like a little.
Yeah, I mean, listen, who would be more annoying than a musician who's just like, because I'm a successful musician, everything I say you should listen to, whether it has anything to do with music or not. We all know those people exist, and we all know those people are annoying. So that would, it could be a good gimmick for Elias. But again, Todd, you have to let him do what he does best, and that is do some music to get the character over.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, with Elias and everything, the stuff he wrote or the songs he did was hilarious, and you know, like you said, with some of these, like you said, with Pat Benatar, she didn't really wrote this. Like you said, she didn't really wrote that song, Shadows of the Night. You said some other singer named Rachel.
Yeah, no, all you have to do is hire a songwriter, give them a certain amount of money, and tell them your name's not going to be on it. They do that all the time. They do it all the time. And the guy probably wouldn't even want his name on it. He'd just be like, whatever, I just wrote this for a wrestling angle. It's not like I want my name on it. But it's still a selling point to Elias. You could even have, you know, listen, how hard would it be to hire a few musicians to actually say, we're going to do a concert, you know, one song concert on Monday Night Raw or whatever. We're going to actually do this live. Hire a drummer and another guitar player and a bass player, a keyboard player, whatever you need. Hire some studio musicians. They'll come in there and play the thing to the T. Let Elias do the song. Get him over. He's not going to get over walking to the ring with a guitar he doesn't use. It's just not going to happen. Talking about being a musician, you got to show it. You got to show it. And as a matter of fact, if I was bringing Elias back, Mike, and I knew I was bringing Elias back, I would have done this before I brought him back. And say, you know, Elias is no longer with the WWE as an active wrestler. But he did release a single, and we're going to play it because, you know, we're all friends of Elias here or whatever, and he's got a video. We're going to release it. And after a week or two of playing that, then say, you know, Elias has agreed to show up and play live. This is going to be something big since we haven't seen him in a while. This will be fun. Elias and his band are actually going to play live, and then have somebody attack him. Have somebody ruin the song halfway through. And you've got yourself the built-in gimmick, brought Elias back with some major fanfare.
Right, and here's something else. They did it with the Honky Tonk Man. I believe the Honky Tonk Man did sing Cool, Cocky, and Bad, right? I believe he
yeah.
did, but he didn't write it.
No, of course
you know,
not.
And, no, and that's the thing. And you have, think about this, you have several musicians in the Hall of Fame, right? Including Kid Rock. So I'm pretty
right.
sure if you ask Kid Rock to come and write a song for Elias, I'm pretty sure he say, okay, what are you going to pay me? And I'll say, we'll pay you this. And he may or may not agree with. I'm pretty sure he would be amenable to doing that, you know?
Well, Mike, I got a better one than that. How about Jimmy Hart? Jimmy Hart was a musician and a songwriter before he was a wrestling manager. So, and he's written any number of songs for the WWE. Why not? You know, or if you feel, well, he's not going to be, it depends on the style you want. I mean, you're going to have to talk to, I guess, the Elias himself and maybe what the fans want or see what the fans would like. I don't know if you want it to be like super heavy metal or you want it to be more you know, folky pop, or you want it to be more, I don't know what you want it to be. You'd have to make a decision on what you wanted it to be. You might not want it to be super metal because you're going to have Rick Boots come back and he's the metal dude with, you know, so I don't know if you want it to be like super metal, but it could be at least rock, you know, and I don't know. I would think that that's logical. I don't know. I would think that's logical. Instead, they just brought Elias back with no fanfare, no song, no nothing, and said, oh, you're not getting over. We're throwing in a tag team with Matt Riddle, which is ridiculous. Anyway, let's get to the plans that I have heard that are being discussed for Roman Reigns at WrestleMania, because this one will shock you, but it's actually, in a way, it might be brilliant. What I'm hearing is that Roman Reigns may very well wrestle both nights of WrestleMania, defend a different belt each night. Meaning that it's a very good possibility that the brand split belts are going to come back. Because I think they figured out, well, if we're going to have The Rock, he can't really win. I mean, if he does win, he's going to have to drop it the next day. And then what's going to happen? The Rock's going to have to win the Royal Rumble? So the minute The Rock comes out in the Royal Rumble, whether he's number one or he's number 30, people are going to be like, oh, well, that's the end of that. He's obviously winning. And there's such it's such a letdown because it's so obvious that it kind of ruins the whole pay-per-view. What I'm hearing is that he's going to wrestle both nights, or at least this is being talked about. He's going to wrestle both nights and one night each for a different belt. Meaning the winner of the Royal Rumble may face him night one or night two. And then The Rock would, if the plan still hold out, The Rock would face him on the other night. I think that's an excellent idea. I really do. Because then it leaves the Royal Rumble open. There's several people who could win that. I mean, the odds-on favorite would be Cody Rhodes. But I think Seth Rollins would be in the mix. I think it's possible that Drew McIntyre would be in the mix. I think it's possible if Bray Wyatt's in it, he's in the mix. So in doing that, Tom, I think it would make the Royal Rumble a lot less predictable, at least.
Yeah, you ain't kidding. That's a brilliant move. And not only that, but it really, like, you know, what are you going to do with The Rock if, you know, you can't have The Rock win the belt? I mean, he's obviously got other things that he's doing. He's not going to stay in the WWE for, you know, longer than what he's coming back for one thing. And that's to face Roman Reigns for the head of the table, you know, bragging rights, whatever you want to call it. You can't really have him win the belt. That doesn't make any sense. However, if Roman Reigns wrestles both nights, it solidifies. One, he beats The Rock. He's the head of the table. He may have lost the belt the night before, but he still has a belt, and he beat one of the main, you know, guys of the Inouye family, and being the solidified true head of the table. That really has a lot of impact. And not only that, but, you know, it brings up the stock for the Usos too.
Yeah.
So I think it's brilliant.
Yeah, I think it's the best solution. Mike, if they do go with that, I think that's maybe the only way I can think of that would make the Royal Rumble less predictable.
Right, and think about this. What were they doing before this? They were tough. They kind of finished with the Sami Zayn thing for now, but if they put Kevin Owens in the Royal Rumble, he's another guy that possibly could win the Royal Rumble. You know?
Yeah,
think about it.
Yeah, Mike, and think about this too. What would happen after that? Well, let's just say whoever wins the Royal Rumble takes the belt off Roman Reigns. So Roman beats The Rock, barely, and then on night two, he gets the belt taken away from him by whoever won the Royal Rumble. He still has one belt. And you could literally have Paul Heyman say, yeah, well, so-and-so may have beat Roman Reigns, but Roman Reigns had to fight The Rock at WrestleMania the night before. You think that didn't take 75% out of Roman Reigns, and then he has to rebound the next night and face a totally fresh guy, a totally fresh guy who just barely is able to beat Roman Reigns? How does that make Roman Reigns less than a superhuman? We still consider him the best of all time. It's almost an excuse for Roman Reigns losing because it's sort of true.
Absolutely, and that's the thing. And, I mean, like you said, any number of people, they have the Royal Rumble, you know, they have the Royal Rumble on the first night or whatever it is, and then, or they have the Royal Rumble, and whoever wins, I mean, we gave you a list of four to five people, six people that could, that are, if they're in the Royal Rumble, could win the thing. If they do it like
right.
we say, if they do it like we say, could do it. Five, six people, that's more than we've had in years that can win the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, now, Derek is saying you don't think they'd close WrestleMania with The Rock. They should. They should, however. I don't think it's necessary. I really don't. Not if you have a really good Royal Rumble winner. Let's say Seth Rollins wins the Royal Rumble. Let's say Cody Rhodes wins the Royal Rumble. Let's say Bray Wyatt wins the Royal Rumble. You don't think people are going to tune in for that second night to see that? I think they will, and I'll tell you why I think they will, because they already know The Rock ain't winning. So if you put The Rock in with Roman Reigns second night, is that a really good main event? I mean, I already know the outcome. Totally already know the outcome. I don't necessarily know the outcome if he faces Seth Rollins or Cody Rhodes or Bray Wyatt or any number of people. I don't necessarily know that outcome, especially if they do an angle where he just barely beats The Rock, and it looks like he's not 100%. Oh, The Rock really screwed him up, and his leg is injured or whatever, and you're like, man, he's going into this match. Not 100%. Now what? You think fans aren't going to tune in and say, okay, Roman Reigns is a wounded animal, and he's got to face so-and-so second night. They're going to win. They're going to win the title, and you're going to really want to watch that. So, no, I think if the WWE handles it well, they don't have to have The Rock be the main event on the second night. I really don't think they have to. Whoever's going to watch the first night is going to watch the second night. That's another thing. You're not really going to have any drop-off. It's not like, oh, I only watched the first night of WrestleMania. Who does that? Nobody. Or I only watched the second night. Nobody does that. So I think that it would be okay. I really do. In fact, I think it could be a bigger night two because of that. Because you're going to have a big night one if you got The Rock. But then if you do that angle right, I think night two people are going to be like, this is where Roman finally loses the belt. We got to see this, right? Wouldn't every wrestling fan want to see Roman Reigns finally lose the belt after how long? That's a big draw. So no, I don't think necessarily the WWE feels they have to close the show with The Rock. Logically, you'd think they'd want, and they will if they're not doing what we said. If they're just going to go with one match for Roman Reigns, then you can bet it's night two feature match. You can bet that. You can take that to the bank. But if they do what we said, and what I've heard they're thinking of, and they have him wrestle twice, no, I don't think it's necessary to have The Rock be the closing match. Because the big deal is going to be Roman Reigns is no longer one of the champions. That closing moment with whoever it happens to be on the turnbuckles as the new champion is going to be big, huge. Huge deal. And you'd want that for night two. You'd want the passing of the belt to another person to be the night two. Because let's say you did it in reverse. Let's say, I don't know, Seth Rollins wins the championship. And now he's got to fight The Rock. Well, you know he's going to beat The Rock. That's sort of anticlimactic, right? You've seen him lose his belt, now he's going to wrestle again for his second belt. Now, I think if you do that, you've got to do it in the order we just said. It's got to be The Rock first. Got to be The Rock first. The problem is, Derek saying, I want to see him chase history as the longest ever, you can forget it. Bruno Sammartino will hold that for life. Roman Reigns isn't even going to wrestle that long. Roman Reigns said, you might not see me much anymore. He's got some health problems. He's wants to do Hollywood. He wants to do a lot of things that didn't exist in the Bruno Sammartino era. And ain't nobody, what, Bruno Sammartino had 11 years? There is absolutely no way on earth that Roman Reigns is going to overshadow Bruno Sammartino's record. It's not going to happen. He's not even going to be wrestling that long. So this is the logical thing for the WWE to do. I know it's going to be controversial. And if I were in on those meetings, I would say the same thing Derek's saying. Are you sure we don't want to close the show with The Rock? But if you're going to present me with The Rock's losing, then it can't be second night of WrestleMania, especially if Roman's losing the title or one of the titles on night one. Then, that's absolutely the reverse of what you want. So what's your thoughts about that, Mike? I know they'd like to close the show with The Rock, but if he's not winning, and the other guy who wins the Royal Rumble actually is, then, Mike, I think you got to close the show with whoever's beating Roman.
Absolutely. And here's something else to think about this thing. Look at who you could put into that match, into the Royal Rumble. Think about it. Drew McIntyre, Seth Rollins, Kofi Kingston could be there. He's an ex-champion. Drew McIntyre, Kevin Owens, even for God's sake, Brock Lesnar, if they want to bring him back.
Yep. And I would. I would have Brock Lesnar in there. I would definitely have Brock Lesnar in there. Hell, I'd have, if I could possibly get him back, I'd have John Cena in there. I'd have everybody in there where you say, this is big. You know, there's any number of people could win. Any number of people could win this. But I think in the end, and I don't want to make any predictions yet because I don't even know what his health status is, I have a weird feeling it's going to be Cody Rhodes. I have this weird feeling Cody's going to come back about Royal Rumble time or be a surprise in the Royal Rumble and win the whole damn thing. Maybe by tossing out Seth Rollins and ending that feud maybe once and for all. And then the gimmick is going to be, I want to win this for my dad. That's a big gimmick. Can you imagine the lead up to WrestleMania where you're doing all the old Dusty stuff saying, you know, the one thing Dusty Rhodes wanted and his son's going to bring it home at WrestleMania and Roman Reigns saying no, you know, and him saying, you want to talk about the bloodline? Well, this is my bloodline. This is what my father wanted his whole life and I'm going to get it for him. That's big. And again, you got the built-in excuse. If he fights The Rock in WrestleMania night one, then if Cody Rhodes wins that championship on night two, one of the championships, Paul Heyman, you can guarantee, on Monday night is going to say, well, congratulations. You beat a guy who went 20 minutes with a legend, got hurt in the match with that legend, and then you pick the bones. That makes you a big-time champion, right? That makes you a tough guy. That makes you an opportunist. You didn't beat a fresh Roman Reigns. You couldn't beat a fresh Roman. And then you got some rematches. So there's so many branches on that tree, Tom, I think, you know, that would be the way to go, obviously.
Yeah, for sure. And the, you know, the sky's the limit. You can go so many different ways, and whatever way they choose is going to be captivating. I keep going back to this thing where last year at the Royal Rumble that Seth Rollins came through the crowd with the Shield music. They really left that wide open. How cool would that be if that, like, Roman Reigns comes out? You know, if they could have kept The Rock coming back surprise, The Rock comes out to shoot a promo and Roman comes out to interrupt him. You know what I mean? And, like, talk him down. And that's, like, the main event of night one. He barely gets past The Rock. And then night two, he ends up losing because of getting beat by The Rock. He's you know, distracted and dejected because of it, and he ends up losing his belt on night two to his former.
Well, you know, listen, if you wanted to do some fantasy booking for this, you could literally just a very short time before the Royal Rumble, or maybe even after, but I would say before, because then the stipulation wouldn't necessarily be there yet. You could have The Rock just come back to cut a promo saying, you know, I was in town for a movie or I'm whatever, and I wanted to come back and say hello to all the WWE universe and everything and have the Bloodline come out. And at first, you know, maybe be nice to him and say, oh, great to see you again, this, that, the other thing, you know, it's interesting to see you here. Because we've been trying to get in touch with you. You don't necessarily return phone calls. You don't necessarily, you know, text back. And I think it would be nice if you just acknowledged that I'm the head of the table and I'm the tribal chief so that all these people know that, because, you know, this is the only time we get to see you now that you're Mr. Hollywood. And The Rock could say, well, what the hell are you talking about? What table are you the head of? You're the head of what? You know, okay, you're the champion of the Federation. Big deal. You're not putting bread on my table. You didn't put bread on any of my family's table. And if anybody put bread on anybody's table, you're looking at them. I think that would be interesting, because that would be where Roman Reigns could say, I want to fight The Rock at WrestleMania, even though he's not in the Royal Rumble. So that means there's no choice but to split the belt. So I'll wrestle both nights. I'll show you how great I am. I'm not the head of the table, huh? Did you ever wrestle both nights of an event? No, you didn't. They didn't even have double WrestleMania nights when you were around. Well, I'm going to wrestle both ends. I'm going to defend one belt each night, once against you and once against the winner of the Royal Rumble. And if that doesn't make me the head of the table, then I'm damn sure not sure whatever will. That would be a great gimmick. Be a great gimmick. And you'd have double build-ups. On Raw or SmackDown, whichever one you choose, you could have Roman addressing The Rock and his match with The Rock on the opposite brand. You could have him addressing, you know, whoever he's going to be fighting on night two. There's a lot to that, Todd. I think that's probably the best solution and an excellent idea if they really do decide to go through with that.
Oh, you're absolutely right there, like you said, about the splitting of the belts. We remember we were talking about a couple months ago where the USA Network was not too happy with the title, the major title situation.
Right.
And
right.
They want their main belt back.
Not only that, but to Derek's point, if he only loses one title, I think the streak still continues. It's not like Bruno Sammartino had two belts. It's not like Hulk Hogan had two belts. So logically, you could say, well, he's still the champion. The streak still continues. He didn't lose both belts. He still is a champion. So I'm not sure even how that streak would work, but you could still say it goes on. He's not going to lose both nights, that's for sure. And the night he loses is going to have to be the second night. So whichever way they want to work that out, but I do think that's an excellent idea. Other things that we wanted to report on, well, we wanted to talk a little bit more about the SmackDown and how they're using tag team division. I don't know what the hell they're doing with Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler, but if I was Shayna Baszler at this point, I would really, you know, I've said bad things about Sasha Banks, but Jesus Christ, I don't blame Shayna Baszler if she goes up to him and says, you know, is there any future here for me at all? Do you have anything for me? Because basically all I ever do is get in the ring like a badass and get rolled up like a bitch. At some point, is there going to be something here for me? I mean, I'm tag teaming with Ronda, and now I'm just the person who loses because Ronda can't. I'm basically made to look like a complete doofus. I could beat you up in a street fight, but if I have to follow any rules, then I'm so dumb you just outsmart me constantly. Wow, they have really destroyed Shayna Baszler's credibility. Shayna Baszler's credibility is zero, and I don't understand this. I just don't. Because I thought where you were heading with this would be like there's a little friendly competition between Shayna Baszler and Ronda Rousey, where Shayna was always trying to outdo Ronda in the ring. She was being more vicious, more whatever. And I thought eventually Ronda, who's the more likable of the two, would say, was that really necessary? I mean, we were winning the match anyway. Did you necessarily have to do that last move and break her arm or break her finger or dislocate her shoulder? What are you trying to prove? And at first, you know, Shayna could be like, I'm not trying to prove anything. I'm trying to win a match, which I thought is what you wanted to do instead of babysit these wimps that are in this division. Why do you care what I do to them? We're winning, right? But then eventually it would come out in the open and Shayna could say, what am I trying to do? I'm trying to show you that this is how you used to be, Ronda. You didn't care about anything except winning. You'd snap an arm in a heartbeat and, go out to dinner laughing. Now all of a sudden you got this weird thing where you don't want to do this and you don't want to do that. It's made you weak. It's made you a shell of what you used to be. You know, there was a time when I'd say you and I were equals. And I think now, this soft person you've become, I could snap you in half. And I thought that was what was going to be the fight. Is Ronda Rousey, Shayna Baszler, and they were going to say, we're going to do UFC rules or something, and we're going to get this settled once and for all. We're going to show you who the weak one is here. You can't do that if Shayna Baszler is losing every week to no one. So I think they're just throwing away a chance at something really good here, Mike, and it's very frustrating to watch.
It is very frustrating to watch as well, and that's the thing. And I just don't get it. Shayna Baszler, when she was in NXT, she was feared. She yep. was badass. You didn't want to mess with her or else she'd get your arm broke, you know?
Right.
That's the thing. You know, and where's that gone? It's gone nowhere. They haven't done anything with that, and that's the thing. Oh, and one other thing, not only there's potential, here's something else to think about. U.S. champion, Intercontinental champion in the Royal Rumble also, and they could absolutely add Bron Breakker to that thing too.
Sure, why not? Put them all in it. What's the difference? You only got to get thrown over the top rope. You don't have to be pinned. So it's not weakening anybody. It would be awesome to see something like that. It would be absolutely awesome to see something like that. Make it look like a big deal. I don't want to see R-Truth in it. I don't want to see Tozawa in it as much as I like Tozawa. They're not winning. I want to see at least out of the 30 people, I want to see at least 15 that you say, well, I mean, that would be a pretty good WrestleMania match. That's all I'm asking. Don't put tag teams in there. I don't care. I don't want to see both Viking Raiders in there. They're not winning. I don't want to see El Legado de Fantasma in there. They're not winning. You want to put Gunther in there? Yes. Brock Lesnar? Yes. Drew McIntyre? Yes. Bobby Lashley? Yes. Kevin Owens? Yes. Sami Zayn? Yes. Cody Rhodes? Yes. Seth Rollins? Yes. Bray Wyatt, yes. Bron Breakker, yes. Now you've got some people. And, you know, if you want to bring back a couple of guys that could potentially win, like if you want to throw in John Cena or somebody, yeah. Because we don't know for sure. We don't know for sure what would happen. You're bringing back somebody like that. So, yeah. I'm all for that. Give me at least 10 out of the 30 that could win. I said 15, but I'll take 10. I've named 8. So it shouldn't be that hard. But don't give me stupid tag teams. Don't give me, here's Angel Garza, as much as we love Garza. Don't give me Angel Garza and his partner. They're not winning. We know they're not winning. I don't want them in the Royal Rumble. I want people in the Royal Rumble that the WWE would say, yes, we want you. If you win, you would be a great main event for WrestleMania. That's it. Otherwise, why are they in there? You could throw in AJ Styles. He's not winning, but you could throw in AJ Styles. That would be legit. You could throw in Finn Balor. That's legit, I guess. But Anderson and Gallows aren't legit. They're not going to win it. So I think that's the important thing, Todd, is to bring, put at least 10 people in there who definitely could win.
I'm absolutely right there. Like you said, well, you could put like 11 or 12 guys in it, and you named like Solo Sokoa. He could be in it, but he's not winning it. He could be one of the candidates in the world.
Yeah, I mean, that would be interesting, though, wouldn't it? I mean, let's name 10 guys that could win it. Well, obviously, Brock Lesnar, if he's in it. Drew McIntyre, if he's in it, which I presume he will be. Seth Rollins, if he's in it, which I presume he will be. Cody Rhodes. I guess you could put in, let's see, Bray Wyatt, right? So there's five. There should be at least five more in the WWE. I guess Kevin Owens would be one. Sami Zayn. Mike, can you think of any others that might fit in there that could possibly win?
Like you said, I mean, hell, I didn't even throw in Solo. You know?
Yeah, why not?
You know, and
why
here's,
not?
Here's the thing. From what I understand, within the next, say, 2 to 3 or 4 weeks, Dustin Rhodes' contract is coming up. And I know he wants to retire and all that stuff, but I wouldn't be at all surprised if his contract comes up and they come to him and say, we want to do one more match and it's going to be the Royal Rumble. I wouldn't be surprised if Dustin Rhodes says, okay, fine.
I mean, he could be in it. We know he's not going to win it. I'd rather just have, you know, he could be one of the 20 guys that's not going to win it that could have an interesting storyline, because him and Cody could say we both want to win it for our dad or whatever. That would be interesting. But there's at least 8 or 9 guys that you could pick that should be able to possibly beat Roman Reigns if they – oh, Bobby Lashley's another one. So I've named 8 guys. Just pick 2 more, and you got 10 guys who could possibly win. Anyway, let's talk a little more about what happened on SmackDown. Sami Zayn was basically told by Jey Uso to clean up a little bit, shave his beard a little bit, because next week Roman Reigns was coming back, and he has a feeling that there's going to be something major happening that night. The indication is he's not going to be an honorary Uso anymore. He's going to be made a full-fledged Uso. Now, this has put a lot of people on notice saying this is where he's going to get turned against. This is going to be the moment where everybody's going to be like, oh, man, why did they do that to poor Sammy? I'm not 100% sure that's right. Not 100% sure that's right, and I'll tell you why. Mike had said something a couple of episodes back that's absolutely correct when he said, can you imagine the amount of merchandise they could sell with Sammy Uso T-shirts? Yeah. And that makes me think maybe he is going to be a real Uso for a while. Maybe they're going to stretch this out even more than we thought. Now, logically, they may not want to because WrestleMania is coming up now, and they got to start the build-up for it. But I don't think this takes a long build-up. I think you could do this in February, turn on him in February, and still have plenty of time to build up WrestleMania. In fact, if it was a surprise thing and he only had 2 or 3 weeks left of WrestleMania when you added this, you know, maybe Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn against the Usos, that would be big. So I don't think they're going to push this. I don't think next week is the turn, Mike. I think you might be onto something when you say they're going to milk this a little longer and see what they can get merchandise-wise out of it.
I've said it before. When he said, when at the end of that long paper, promo, when he said, you're not going to like what I'm going to do. I'm going to take it away. And not only that, I'm going to change his name, and it's going to be Sammy Uso, and the crowd popped. That should have told you something. That should have told, I mean, I said it at the time, and you both basically agreed. If they didn't hear that pop and say, look, we got something here, they're stupid.
Yeah, I think they'd be silly to turn this quickly. I think the best solution to this is make him a real Uso first. Sell the merchandise, do what you got to do for a month and a half or whatever, and then if you need to make the turn, which you're going to obviously, then do it. Coincide it with The Rock and the whole Royal Rumble so that maybe the breaking point could be that Sami Zayn enters the Royal Rumble and ends up throwing out one of the Usos or something. Yeah, I mean, the gimmick could be the Usos are in the Royal Rumble only to make sure, and Solo, let's say he throws out Solo. Solo, you get in the Royal Rumble, you win it, and make sure, you know, I don't have to defend my belt. And Sammy throws him out. That could be the point where they say, okay, well, you screwed up. You know, there's things that can happen, but I just think rushing it's a bad idea. So I think if tomorrow they did this gimmick and they said, you're now a real Uso, you're not an honorary Uso, and here's your official Sammy Uso t-shirt, you're going to sell, I don't know how many, but you're going to sell a lot. And you may as well milk the cow, right? So I would go in that direction at least until mid-January or late January, Tom, and not rush this. Plenty of time to build up the feud for WrestleMania.
Yes, and while I like that, while I like that idea, I like the whole, you know, Sammy Uso is going to be a made man, kind of like a Goodfellas mob type thing where he's going to get made and people are excited for him and then they turn on him, you know, minus the badassery, of course. But the fact that he could, if they don't pull the trigger on turning on him and they go the other direction, much like you were saying, and make him not an honorary Uso, but Sammy Uso, you can milk that cash cow dry. It will just.
Yeah, I think it would be malpractice not to do it, Todd. You might as well make him an official Uso. Really milk it as quickly as possible for the next month and then do whatever you want to do.
Oh, you're absolutely right, Gary. Like you said, with this whole Sami Zayn thing, have him turn him into a fool, not honorary anymore, into a full bloodline Uso thingy. But like you said, it's then turn on him.
Yeah, and I think it would be better because you're endearing Sammy to the crowd even more before the betrayal. So then the betrayal makes it worse than it would have been. So I think that's an excellent idea. I don't think that next week is going to be the end of Sami Zayn with the Usos. I just don't. I know a lot of people disagree with me, and they may be right because the WWE tends to try to rush storylines. And they may want to do something for the Royal Rumble where they're like, oh, we got to get this done by the Royal Rumble. I would change my plans. Even if you had thought that we have to get this done before the Royal Rumble, I would still say, yeah, well, look, let's milk the cow a little more first. We'll sell a million Sammy Uso t-shirts. We'll get a little more sympathy on the side of Sami Zayn and get him really over with the crowd big, big, big time. Before the bloodline turn on him. I think it's a better idea than just let's get it done before the Royal Rumble. But we'll see. We'll see what they do. Now, as far as the segment was concerned with Ricochet and Walter, let me say this. Sometimes the crowd cheats themselves. The crowd is so interested in chanting Watt or yelling and screaming, they didn't really hear what Gunther had to say. And it's kind of important because he was trying his best to put his finger on this hot topic issue of, is it better to be a real professional wrestler, to which obviously there is no such thing, or an entertainer? And the crowd didn't really hear him because they were just chanting wat, wat, wat at him, and it didn't work out well. I don't like what they're doing with Imperium because remember before when one of his guys lost, he would go nuts. He would beat on them, tell them it's unacceptable to lose. Remember when he beat the hell out of Kaiser and told him it's unacceptable to lose, losing is for weaklings and blah, blah, blah. He ain't doing that no more. They've lost a couple times. Imperium as a tag team ain't looking so good. Only Gunther's looking good. But Tom made a very good point when he said nobody was really popping for Ricochet. They had to bring the New Day out to get some energy for this title defense next week, to add a little charisma to it, because Ricochet just don't have any. He's sitting there, and the best he can come up with is, I don't quit, I never quit, I'm not a quitter, or you'll see, I don't give up, I keep fighting. Okay, well, whatever. Whatever. I mean, there's a whole lot better you could have done. He don't have the charisma. He just don't have it. Not his fault. Sure, he's a very nice guy and probably a very charismatic guy in real life. Not in this character, he's not. He's just not. I mean, I thought Gunther was bad. I'm like, he has no charisma. He's just like some doofy-looking Frankenstein-looking guy who says, I'm a real wrestler and you're not. But, you know, that's sort of his gimmick. Ricochet's supposed to be... See, here's the problem. Ricochet and Ali suffer from the same disease, and that is when they try to be faces, they end up looking smarmy and sarcastic and condescending. And those aren't good things for faces. I don't think they actually know how to be a face. The New Day is actually more insulting and more obnoxious, and yet they come off not condescending because they know how to do it. So in other words, Ricochet can sit there and not insult Gunther and still come off looking condescending and smarmy. Xavier Woods can come out and say all kinds of things that's insulting, and still he doesn't come out to look condescending, just entertaining. That's a gift, Mike, and Ricochet just don't have that gift, unfortunately.
Right, and look, that's the whole point in AEW with the Jericho Appreciation Society, right? Sports entertainment. That's the whole point with that.
Yep.
All those people in that group get it. You know, the fans. I mean, yeah, you wanted to hear what Gunther had to say. Yeah, sure, because you need to hear it. And when they do that, and they do it to the crowd's detriment, right? When they do that. Now, as far as he can say all the smarmy things he wants, but they don't come off. The New Day don't come off looking that way. They just don't. They know how to finesse it. Such that they can say those type of things, but still get cheered. You know, and that's the thing.
Why, Mike? I was studying that, and I think I know why. It's because they always do it to a reaction. In other words, Gunther says, you are just entertainers. You're just performers. So he's already insulted them. He's basically said, you're not professional wrestlers. So when they turn his words around and says, oh, you're not. We're just performers. In other words, you can't perform. Oh, I guess you guys have trouble performing. They kind of got what they deserved. They used their own words against them. So it's not being condescending because you've already been. It's the difference between you slapping somebody after they slapped you, and you slapping first. The problem with Ali and Ricochet is they tend to come off as cocky, smug, condescending. We're really athletes, and you guys aren't. And that's the bad guy thing. That's what Gunther was trying to say. We're really athletes and you're not. Well, why is Gunther trying to say that? Because he's a heel. So why is Ricochet trying to say that? So why would Ali say stuff like that? This is exactly the opposite of what they should do. If you really want the crowd to support a guy like Ali or a guy like Ricochet, Ricochet and Ali both have to be the type of guys to say, I know what I'm up against. I'm not stupid. Okay, I know that Gunther, if he gets a hold of me, this isn't going to end well for me. And I also know that every time I lose a match here, I lose opportunity. I lose credibility. And I've heard my whole life, you're too small. You're too this. You're too that. You don't have the power to be a wrestler. You don't have this to be a wrestler. And I could have listened to him when I went home, and I didn't. But, I mean, you know, listen, to an extent, they're right. I'm in here against a guy. Whoever he gets a hold of me, I have no chance. So, yeah, this is going to be an uphill battle. But if, you know what? I'd rather lose and take the chance than just never take the chance. So I'm going to give it my best shot. Instead of saying, yeah, I'm not quitting, you can't beat me. I mean, that's just, I don't get it. You guys are the underdogs. Please act like the underdogs. I'd rather have Ali say, I don't deserve a chance. I'd love to come over to Austin Theory. I'd love to come over to you and smack you in the face and tell you I deserve a chance at your title, but the truth is I don't. Truth is I don't. And I'm going to have to earn it. I don't want you to give it to me. That's the whole thing. You're sitting here saying you're not getting one, you don't deserve it. Like, I disagree with you. I don't disagree with you. I know where my career's going. I know my career's going downhill. I don't want you to hand me a shot. I want to be able to earn that shot. So when I get in that ring with you, I can look you in the eye and say, I earned this. Then that's a good guy. That's a guy I want to support. I don't want a guy backstage saying, I don't get any chances. I want another one. I'm good. I don't like that. That's not a face. And Ricochet's the same way. He just looks very smarmy. When Gunther's talking, he says, yeah, you're an idiot. You know what you're talking about. Instead of really, like, taking offense to it and saying, well, Gunther, you think I haven't heard that my whole life? Oh, all you do is fly around the ring like a, you know, chimpanzee or whatever. I'm not, you know, you're not a real wrestler. You're just an entertainer. You're just a gymnast. You're just that or the other thing. Here's what you have to understand. I'm not your size. Okay? I can't stand toe-to-toe with you. I know that. But I can wrestle with you. If you don't think I can, well, you know, we're going to find out. And I'm not saying I'm going to win, but I'm telling you this. You're going to respect me at the end of this match. And you're going to respect people who do what I do at the end of this match. Because unlike you, I don't look down at anybody because, oh, all you do is punch and kick. All you do is whatever. We all have to have our own style. I have to do what I have to do to survive. I'm not your size. Doesn't mean I'm not a good athlete. Doesn't mean I don't deserve a title shot. Doesn't mean I can't beat you. Just means I'm not going to get as many opportunities. So when one comes along, I really got to catch it. Those are the type of things, Mike, that make a face. Not smarmy, smug, self-confident, you know, guys like they're portraying themselves to be.
Absolutely. And that's the thing. They don't get it. These guys don't. I mean, I go back to what I've said about his ex tag team partner. You know, Mansoor. Mansoor gets
right.
It. They
yep.
found something for him to do. They gave Mansoor something to do, and he embraced it. And now look at him. Now look at him and the other guy. You know,
yeah.
They don't need to be wrestling. Yeah, they're not wrestling, but they're entertaining.
Yeah, and even though they're not winning a lot of matches, they got a spot on the show. That's what I'm trying to say. You have to – Ricochet and Ali are both cut out of that same mold, and they both have to be a whole lot more humble. It doesn't mean they can't be confident. But how would you feel? See, that's the thing. How would you feel? If you were going into the ring with a dude who was twice your size, stood toe-to-toe with Sheamus and could literally, you know, brawl with Sheamus, and you know you're up against it, would you be, like, laughing at him, saying, you ain't nothing, you wait and see what I can do? That's smug. You should be just exactly the opposite. You know, you should be talking to the New Day behind the scenes saying, you know, I'm so glad I won the tournament, but, I mean, the pressure's really on me now. When you're my size, you don't get a lot of these shots. And every time I lose, it just undermines the fact that you're just another small guy who can't cut it against the big guys. And I really got to make the most out of this. Because I don't know when or if I'll ever get another one if I lose. Then it's somebody to root for. That's what Daniel Bryan did so well. Daniel Bryan always came off as that guy who was like, here we go. This isn't going to be easy. This isn't going to be fun. This is going to be hell on a stick. But what the hell, guys? Let's give it a go, and maybe I'll win. You know, at least I'm not afraid. That's what made Daniel Bryan such a great underdog. He never came off smug.
Absolutely. He never came off smug. And that's the thing. And look, there are a number of people in AEW that have got that thing down pat. I mean, a guy like Darby Allin, not the biggest guy, but he comes off as that guy that, you know, yeah, he's going to, yeah, you may, if you're bigger than him, you're going to get a hold to him and you're going to do something to him, but he's going to give you a crap ton of trouble. And basically, you know, there you go. Oh, and Marcus, one other thing. I just figured something out with the Royal Rumble. If all of the rest of the bloodline is in the Royal Rumble, it doesn't matter if the Usos get thrown out or not because they're attacking, right? The goal should be – the goal for Sami Zayn in this thing is to protect Solo.
Right. And if he ends up throwing him out or even accidentally causing him to go out, that would be fun. I mean, there's a lot you could do with that. Getting back to the Ricochet and Ali thing, that's why, in my opinion, they might be better off as heels. When he was managing the, I don't remember what they were called now, Retribution, he wasn't doing a terrible job. Because he come off smug and self-confident and whatever. The problem there was the booking because they never won. So because they never won, how smug can you be when you lose every single freaking week? So I think you could have had something with him as a smug, arrogant heel, but you had to let him win. As far as Ricochet is concerned, I could see Ricochet really coming off as a guy with a chip on his shoulder, basically saying, nobody here can do what I can do. I'm this, I'm that, I'm the greatest high flyer in history, and people like Rey Mysterio and all those people, those are, you know, dinosaurs compared to what I can do. In his prime, he couldn't have, you know, shined my boots. You could get somebody like that out of Ricochet and say, hey, I wish somebody would just squash this little guy already. He always seems to find some little way to win or something, and then he chirps about it like he's a big deal, when in reality he was getting his ass kicked through the most of the match. You could pull that with them because he's never going to go over as a sympathetic babyface with his attitude. And I know it's the modern attitude. They're thinking to themselves, what the fans want to see is for me, even at my size, to be like, I'm not afraid of anybody, and I am better than you, and I'm this. They think that's the new modern hip thing that people want to see. But deep down inside, they don't. Even if they think they do, they'd rather see a humble Ricochet or a humble Ali than what they're seeing now. And that's why they're not connecting with the crowd. Now, I think Ricochet has a better chance of doing it than Ali, because for whatever reason, Ali has sort of tried to do it, and it just comes off totally disingenuous. I've seen Ricochet a little bit do it, and it's almost there. So I think Ricochet would have a better chance. But, I mean, let's face it, he's not beating Gunther. He's not beating Gunther. So there's just one more, you know, we'll give you a little build-up because we need somebody to fight Gunther. And that's going to be about it, I would imagine. As far as the rest of SmackDown is concerned, well, listen, I don't think it was a stellar show. It was better than Raw. I can tell you that. It didn't have a far margin to go to be better than Raw, however. But I still see it as just about average. I liked the thing with the Usos. I thought the New Day did an excellent job of helping breathe a little bit of life, at least, into this feud with Gunther. I'll tell you what I really hate. I hate what they're doing to El Legado del Fantasma. Here are three guys who really come off looking, and Zelina Vega with them, really looking like a mob, really looking like a cartel, really looking like these smug guys are like, listen, you know, we're taking over. And then they get their ass kicked every single frigging week. Every week. They look like klutzes. If that's not bad enough, you've just introduced the Viking Raiders as being, you know, this phenomenal force, and then you have Hit Row come in and basically demolish both teams. Sarah Logan can't stand up for 2 seconds. What? What the hell are you doing? I know you want to get a three-way tag team thing out of it. I get it. I get it. And they all have one girl right with them, right? So that works out. But at the end of the day, no one's taking Phantasmo seriously anymore at all. Hit Row, totally not being taken seriously, and you're well on your way to making the Viking Raiders for the third time not being taken seriously. I don't know why you had to do this. As far as Legado de Phantasmo is concerned, they should have been untouchable up to this point. They should have been the guys who always seem to be winning, always seem to have it on their side, always seem to be one step ahead, and very, very smug and deadly with their approach to, we'll take what we want when we want it. Instead of, oh, all I do is count the ring lights. I mean, Jesus, you even had the leader lose to Ricochet, Mike, at this point. I don't see much future for them. It's not looking good.
Okay, When Scott Hall originally came in as Razor Ramon, when he did that, and we saw all the things they did, him basically doing Tony Montana, right? You know,
yep.
Basically doing say hello to my little friend and all that stuff. You know, after he originally comes in, did they have with that gimmick, with that thing? Yeah, they tweaked it a little bit. But originally when he came in with that gimmick, did he lose anywhere close to originally coming in? No, he didn't.
Hell no.
Basically, that's what this is. This is basically them playing the mob, basically playing, a Mexican cartel. So they should not have come in. They should not have been losing. They shouldn't have been losing, and they shouldn't have never seen the guys first off, you know?
Mike, absolutely not. And what they really should be doing is they should be, like, doing strong-arm tactics where they're beating people up in the parking lot, beating people up in the building, threatening other people, you know, literally having someone come into them and say, look, you got a pretty good thing here. It would be a shame if you got your arm broken or something and you couldn't do your match. So it would behoove you to do this. Or even put pressure on the officials. You know, we think it would be better if you did this. Really strong arm them, where logical people are afraid. And they say, well, they've sort of threatened me or people that I care about or my career or my job or my possessions. So I'm a little bit intimidated by them, because guess who wouldn't be? Viking Raiders. That would be the first people that you'd say, well, they don't care. They just don't care. They're berserk. And that would be perfectly good, because you could say, well, you know, we're trying to strong arm them. Well, that's not going to work, obviously. So then you'd have a good foil for it, Mike. Instead, they've already been made to look like wimps, so who cares?
Mm-hmm. And think about this. What was it, about 3, 4, 5 months ago, what happened in AEW when Jericho first put together the Jericho Appreciation for that? One of the first things that happened was they took Ruby Riott and slammed her arm in a car door, right?
Yep. Absolutely. That's what I'm saying, Mike. If they did things like that, if they had tried to intimidate people and said, you know, bad things can happen to people. We wouldn't want you to have an accident. And then people start having accidents and stuff. People would be intimidated. But obviously, if you're looking around at the tag teams, the people that wouldn't be intimidated would be somebody like the Viking Raiders, who aren't supposed to be all that bright and, I guess, very berserk and brave, so they'd just be like, whatever, you know. That would be a good thing. And maybe the hip-hop duo there wouldn't be too intimidated because they'd be like, look, man, you know, we know what the streets are like, and, you know, we ain't intimidated by you. So you'd have something, but you have to keep them all strong then. You haven't kept any of them strong. They're all weak. So, Todd, I think they've blown all three teams. I mean, that's a disgusting mistake.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, with this, the Viking Raiders, the Elgato Fantasma thing, and the Hit Row, they really sink the ship on those guys. And like you said, they didn't get the same reaction when all those three teams were on, and when they were in NXT.
No, they sure as hell didn't. I mean, out of the three, I think you've blown the Fantasmo team the most, because those guys should have came in like strong arm bullies and mobsters. Hit Row, you've blown to a certain extent. The Viking Raiders less, because you still are trying with them, but it's getting close to blowing that. So, Mike, I don't know if they can rehab them, but, I mean, you would think common sense, if you're going to bring in a team that's supposed to be a cartel of smug, self-confident gangsters, basically, they can't get their ass handed to them every week.
Right, and think about this, what they could have had. Oh, they're trying to do all this stuff. What they could have had Hit Row say is, people in our business have been killed.
Right.
Basically.
We put
know,
up with people like that. Yeah.
Biggie or whatever the guy's name was, you know, the rapper. That type of stuff. And you're right. The one that's going to be easiest to rehab are the Viking Raiders. Because it's such a good gimmick.
Yeah, and it's easy because they haven't been made to look weak yet. They haven't lost. They got back jumped, but that's not the end of the world. But they haven't actually lost. So whereas Hit Row's lost plenty of times, and Fantasmo's lost every week. So, I mean, at this stage of the game, both of those guys are going to be much harder to rehab. There's no question. I hope they rebound with the Viking Raiders, and I hope they can do something with both of the other teams. I don't think either team is worthless. I think Hit Row isn't as charismatic as people think they are, and I think with having Street Profits and to a lesser extent now New Day overshadowed them for the charisma. But at the end of the day, they still something could be done with them. But, yeah, you've dropped the ball on Fantasmo big time, and there's really no reason for it. Just like you're dropping the ball with several other people. I don't know, man. Has the Triple H era really been that much better? Not sure yet. I think the jury's still out. Anyway, we'll talk to you Tuesday with the Monday Night Raw report.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. WrestleChat.